Hello, everyone, and welcome to the improv warm-up exercise we've been calling Ballin' Out Good Time.
We're doing that now?
We don't know what we're doing.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ska music, playing ska music in the anime room, not stopping when the show has to start.
Pick it up.
Jeremy, stop.
One time.
Stop skanking and get over here. We gotta start this bonus episode.
Sorry, I was just busy skanking over there.
Hey.
How is everybody today?
Get off the floor, doing the worm, possibly. I don't know, it was never my culture.
Hang your pork pie hat at the door.
It's time for good times.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da. Hey, so we're back for another week of premium content and Dragon Ball GT, which has already gone off the goddamn rails.
Yeah.
It took an episode. It took two episodes, I think, before we realized that this wasn't what we wanted.
That tweet that we got from Stairmaster makes so much more sense now.
Shout out to Stairmaster, who I'm assuming is in the Patreon.
He is, yeah. Or she is, I don't know. But either
way. How do you gender stairs?
I think they're mask-leaning non-binary.
Right.
Mm.
It's like a...
Mask-leaning non-binary. So Stairmaster had said to us that they appreciate that we're enjoying GT so far, and it's going to be heartbreaking when we find out why the franchise was dead for 20 years.
Okay, yes, okay. I mean, we knew going in, we picked it because we thought it was going to be the worst possible show we could watch, thus leading to the best possible podcast we could create, and that prophecy has come true.
And that's why I fought against it very hard. So I just want to come out the gate saying I was right. As always, me, Katie, look, Rose, Leon,
America's sweetheart.
America's sweetheart. Well, it's Father's Day, and we've all agreed not to talk about specifically my father. What have you two been up to?
I went to a family wedding that was disastrous, and then someone else died.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.
Pick it up.
Pork pie hats. Who died?
In my family. It's fine.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it on
All
the
right.
radio show.
Okay, we
it's
do
off.
Not have to talk about it.
It's in the corner with
I'm
my dad.
I'm keeping busy to keep my feelings at bay. If anyone has some really strenuous research they need done, or a letter writing campaign, a 6-page comic, at your girl. She's on a manic wave.
Manic wave. Katie's on the floor. That's why we have to pick her up.
I went to Long Island also to see my father for Father's Day, and I spent like most of the day at a public pool, which was pretty weird and intense.
No.
There were a lot of like really intense teenagers.
I haven't been to a public pool in probably 15 years. What is the public pool like?
From
these
my
days?
Understanding, if you work at a public pool, you are essentially living real life Caddyshack. You're a bunch of teens all screwing each other in a back room of a shed and messing with the food people get. And
yeah. Well, so I used to work at a public pool.
I see that. Oh.
I worked at a public pool for years. And
that's how you lost your hair.
It's all that chlorine.
The time syncs up.
All that fluoride in the water. Anyway, tell us about the pool.
Oh, well, so the pool wasn't the crazy part. The crazy part came after the pool when we went home, and I was talking to my dad, and it turns out that at age 64, my dad has finally become a socialist.
Oh.
What a nice long walk that must have been.
Ride it's that red
wild.
Wave.
Because it was, this is the same man who in 2003 used the term the surge a lot.
Right, ooh. Like we need the surge?
Yeah, the troop surge.
He wasn't talking about just Surge Tankian?
My second time today.
I thought you were both going for Surge Soda.
I was going for Lieutenant Surge, and I couldn't remember his last name, and it's because it's Surge, and his first name's Lieutenant. But
Lieutenant Surge Tanky.
As made famous for my quality tweet you guys retweeted today at my job at a hotel, and a woman was desperately trying to speak Italian to me, and I could not help her. But then I saw the Surge Tankian of System of a Down famous on her shirt. I was like, hey!
Why do they always end the poor?
I'm like, damn. It's party time. And we all live in a fascist nation. Sing along if you know it.
Check it out. I have this very cool pogo stick.
Pick it up. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
The surge.
Jeremy's the troop surge.
How did your father feel about the surge?
He loved it. He loved the Iraq War. He loved Dick Cheney. He had told me that Dick Cheney was an admirable man.
Yikes.
And over the course of the 15 years? Yeah, 15 years. He slowly veered towards being a libertarian. And then he became sort of like that new libertarian thing where they're like, yeah, you know, like, I'm a conservative, but I also want single payer, you know, like that thing that's happening now.
So a confused libertarian.
Yeah. And then the other night he argued like intensely in favor of taxing Walmart more to fund a minimum wage increase.
Okay, so did he do you know what happened?
He just is like, he's on a bell curve. He's on this weird bell curve because he was like a leftist drug dealer when he was young.
Right.
And then he like went to jail for a while, and then he got out, and
if you're not a leftist drug dealer when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not a leftist 64-year-old man, you love the surge. It doesn't really make sense to me still. I don't really understand your father's
I don't really understand it either, but it's just been like a very natural a transition that's taken place over time, and I'm very happy for my dad.
I'm fascinated because I just thought men after a certain age just cannot change. Like, literally, it was physically impossible.
You're thinking of perform. They cannot perform.
I know what I meant.
Right, okay. It's a common misconception.
That's why I just, when like my dad does stuff that annoys me or whatever makes me insane, I just take a breath. I'm like, he literally can't change.
Right.
But now you know he can.
Yeah, that's worse.
I have a healthy pattern of disengaging from people who have terrible politics who I know in my life and have to love. You know? You don't have to talk about big things with them. You can just be like, pancakes are great. See you later.
That was me at this wedding the whole time.
Oh, yeah, you were telling people that you were still a cartoonist.
Yes, so a fun fact about the Jewish side of my family is that I have a relative who also does stand-up who will not talk to me about stand-up. And
he's got a podcast, doesn't he?
How would I know that?
Say his name. Scott Aukerman.
So I just... You know, with Jewish family, what do they want to talk to me about before? They want to talk about my job. Well, I don't have a good... I quit my professional corporate job that I was making bank because it made me sad to work a minimum wage almost hotel job. So we can't talk about that. Two, my appearance. I cut all my hair off, so I look kind of gay, and I have a lot of visible tattoos. So that's not a great one to go on either.
Okay,
three, who are you dating? I'm like, yeah. Who are you dating? And that's usually, is it a woman or is it a man? If it's a man, is he a doctor? Are you getting married? I'm like, well, I don't really believe in marriage, maybe, or maybe I do. I don't know. I date everyone and also nobody. I have so many boyfriends and no boyfriends. Can't have that conversation. So now they're like, oh, well, you still doing the comedy? Your cousin's doing the comedy. Do you hang out? Oh, I hear he's doing shows all the time, every week, all up and down Manhattan. Are you doing that? And it's a nightmare. So I'm just started telling everyone that I'm still a cartoonist. And I just, and they're like, oh yeah, you do, how is it? I'm like, it's great. I do freelance. And I tell them all about my non-existent freelance illustration career that I was supposed to have.
Nice.
If my life went differently. And it doesn't bother me.
They can't follow the lances.
Yeah, they can't follow it. So I just like scare them off with words. I talk about Photoshop too intensely and they leave me alone.
Speaking of your dating life, what is the status of your Funimation account?
I still have it.
Woo!
Pick it up.
I mean, I love this podcast. I don't want to talk about most of my weekend. I went to Baltimore to visit my dad. He just moved to Baltimore, and he used to live in Atlanta, and he keeps switching jobs. And visiting Atlanta, I will say for the record, much more fun than Baltimore. Obviously, you can get slow burnt ribs and other southern delicacies and a mince juleps and all kinds of stuff, and there's stuff to do, and you can go to the Coca-Cola Museum.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but in Baltimore, you just like, because he's in like suburbs now, and you go to the mall, which is my normal dad experience, and sometimes when you're feeling emotional at the mall, you look around and you notice, hey, isn't it weird we're in like a garage full of dead things? Like a giant, impossibly large garage. And then some of it's Egyptian shaped because it's a movie theater and we're being fun. But most of it is just like Foot Locker and Lady Foot Locker and multiple gender Foot Locker. And there's just shoes and you can buy shoes. They have plantations full of shoes. There's so much in there, and where does it come from? And everyone's mad, and then you look at a teenager who's gonna fight an old woman, and you think, I should leave.
How are you more emotional than me?
I'm taller and historic in the spine.
Yeah, no. Now I understand how we're friends. Sometimes I'm like, how does Alex stand me? And now I'm like, now I know you have a secret dark hole inside your heart.
Yes, I have crawling in my skin. And with that,
you should go to the doctor because these wounds, they will not heal.
I have said, so we're holding a clipboard. It looks like these wounds, they will not heal. Let's move on because Jeremy, again, has found a very interesting topic that we must discuss. What was your corner called again?
Reading with Jeremy.
Beep, beep, time for the Hot Take Express. All aboard.
Toot, toot.
So
this week what I've brought to you guys in my further research into the right wing of anime fandom, I have found a Breitbart article from 2014 by Milo Yiannopoulos.
Oh, we should call this segment The Dark Passenger.
Okay.
Beep, beep, all aboard.
It works, still train themed.
So this is from Milo Yiannopoulos, published in Breitbart, 2014. The Lost Franchise, Why Digimon Deserves a Glorious Renaissance.
I have so many opinions, but I'll let you finish.
So it's a very long article, okay. And I have cut just a couple of...
Just like do some highlights.
Yeah, some choice highlights
here.
Do a
reel.
So this is in reference to the difference between Pokemon and Digimon.
Okay.
Right. I will withhold my judgment until we examine the text.
Milo says, because new players entering the franchise all the time, Pokemon anime cannot pursue innovative plot lines or long character arcs that might lose fresh or young viewers. Thus, a Monster of the Week format that will be familiar to fans of shows such as The X-Files has been deployed. It has left older enthusiasts of the franchise cold. Ketchum, then, has been full of sound and fury, but has achieved nothing. He is ageless, stuck in purgatory, devoid of accomplishments and character development. Unlike other successful kids' entertainment brands, such as Harry Potter, he has not grown with his audience. Instead, his audience continually grows out of him. It must be a lonely way to live, though it has, irrespective of its lack of artistic and cultural interest, been a lucrative existence for his makers.
Did this guy trick people into getting him books because they just have never, like, read larger words before? Because this is, like, what essays I wrote in high school sounded like.
While Ash may provide us with a lucrative experience, that of the roving 10-year-old is a damned life.
I love that
Where
he's like...
Where are these digital monsters? Perhaps they're in our screens, in our very homes, that's where we are. When you go to bed and you check your clock on your cellular telephone, is that a Digimon?
Hold on, shot of Agumon. You must never digivolve this. Okay, moving on. Pokemon is an artistically uninspiring cash-by-numbers operation. Its execution is cynical and formulaic, say Digimon fans.
Don't bring me into this, you fucking turncoat
piece of
shit.
Katie has no stake in this fight.
I have so, like... You need to read faster.
Okay. Its writers and designers show little sign of imagination or desire to explore worthwhile existential questions in its flimsy storylines. It is, for want of a more sophisticated expression, getting boring. The story of Digimon across games and anime, by contrast, is a catalog of bold, aspirational, cross-media storytelling.
He's not wrong.
Granted, much of the Digimon franchise has been considered commercially disastrous, and some of it has been artistically mediocre. Digimon's various creative masterminds have been punished by the market for excessive experimentation.
Yo, it's not even true!
Creative masterminds like Izzy.
Oh my god.
And just Izzy. Prodigious.
If Alex is the Izzy, no, you're not.
I can't be the Izzy.
Yeah,
you're too emotional.
Who are we all?
We all want to be Matt, so let's just leave him off the
table. I know, we all want to be Matt. Matt can't be...
Matt, the Trunks of Digimon.
I don't know why, in my memory, Digimon is more of like a Man versus Wild story.
It is, actually, for a while, because they're starving to death for like the first like 30 episodes.
And then they eat like cartoon hams, because they are living in a video game.
I guess that's, yeah, I probably just never made it past the first 30.
If Digimon has a hole, it is the food chain inside the Digimon world, where none of them are eating each other, but also there's like predators, and some of them are plants, and... don't write to me about this. I don't care.
Can I say something about this article?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he calls it the forgotten franchise. It was on Fox.
Yeah.
Which is a extremely mainstream channel. And what I take from all of this is Milo, as we know, is a piece of shit. And he got turned away by all the communities that would have embraced him because he fucking sold out. So what this really is Milo likes anime, but he can't get anyone cool to talk about anime with because he's such a piece of shit. So all these like normie, ultra-conservative Nazi losers who like don't know how to dress and mouth breathe and have no popular interests are just like, he wants to talk about Digimon so bad, but no one will talk to him about it because they only know about guns and like farts and like... What do Nazis even listen to? Ace of Base? Like, I guess that's
definitely
kind
Ace of
gay,
Base, yeah.
So congratulations on that, Milo. You get Ace of Base.
This kind of seems like how Ty felt some of the time.
You get Ted Nugent sometimes.
Ty, the popular boy who's always alone.
You get Meatloaf. Congrats.
Is Meatloaf a conservative?
He has to be.
Yeah, he did. He was like the only celebrity they used to be able to get him to do like Republican events.
Though it's cold and lonely in the deep, dark Federal Reserve. Okay. Do we have any more Milo breakdown here?
There's a couple more points, but we can move on from this. But the last thing I do want to say, and I'll put a link to this in the description of the podcast, I did, in my research, come across a video of Milo at a panel taking a question from a furry in full fursona, and it's the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Do they use, like, English, or is it like, yarp, yarp?
Oh, no, they speak English, but they use the fursona voice, and so it's like,
yes.
Milo is, like, taking questions, and this is not... at like an anime convention. This is not at any sort of a place where you would have expected
well,
this.
Well, because there's like Nazi furries and ultra conservative furries, like, which is insane.
Yeah.
And so I guess Milo to a ultra conservative furry is like a beacon of hope that
like, hold on, we have like, to slow this down. Hitler as his fursona, what is it? Is it his dog?
Yeah.
Is it the German hawk?
Those would be my two guesses, but...
Or it might be like a lion or something.
I was going to say a tiger. I could see him being
Tiger's
a tiger.
Tiger's too exotic.
It's got to be something hyper-masculine because that's his whole thing.
But then, like, in his, like, secret inner life, he's, oh, like, true. My real fursona, though, is, like, more of a mouse. But I can't, like, wear that to the cons, you know, because I have appearances to keep up.
Inside, I'm just an Austrian mouse. I stay in my little hole, and I go squeak, squeak until it's time to put on my big britches and do my speech.
Weird podcast, you guys.
It is a weird podcast. Should we move
on? We're not
on?
The first people to have this conversation, and that makes me feel better. I went on a weird thing last week where somehow I ended up tumbling down Nazi Twitter for like more than 1 minute,
mm-hmm.
which is like the usual time for you're like, enough of this, no more. And it gets like real cute in a way that's disturbing where they're like, let's clap, exterminate the half-breeds, clap. And it'll be like anime picture of two people cuddling. And it's like, what? How did these ideas fit together? How are you a person? There's a bunch of you. I'm confused.
Yeah, it's...
Although anime, very strongly represented over there, and that's why our podcast is so important. It's such an important podcast. I can't emphasize the word important enough.
Yeah, you know, I feel really important with all the stuff going on right now with, like, actual children imprisonment camps and the threat of nuclear war and... You know, I'm just really glad we're taking anime back from some guy on the internet.
Take it. It's yours.
Hey, Alex, let's talk about GT, huh?
Yeah, let's step into the grand tour, everybody. This episode is titled Episode 3, Terror on iMecha.
Woo!
I missed the title, and so that was like the fact that the planet was literally called Mecha was like a nice little treat for me halfway through.
It's iMecha, you know, like if Apple produced a holy destination. Okay, so the beginning of this episode, they're in the spaceship, and Trunks is trying to responsibly land the plane. Which really sets the tone for the show right away because he's bouncing all over this plane. She has the key and he's like falling into chairs and she's jumping over him and they're like, haha, you can't get the key. And it's like, so this is the kind of tone we're going for in the grand tour. The grand tour has only begun.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting that Trunks now is like responsible but clueless, like, adult position while the kids are pulling one over.
Yeah, Goku, I like Goku better as a child still. Yeah. It fits his personality a lot better, and I like the voice. I think it's kind of cool. He doesn't do shit for almost any of this episode.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what I'm digging. It's just weird that they're going back to this after the nu metal vibe they had for hundreds of episodes right before it. Like, they don't go together at all. I don't know. It's very cute.
One thing that does happen in that scene, though, that is not very cute is Pan puts the key down her shirt. And then Trunks is like, oh, no, I can't go after it or else I'm going to expose myself as a pedophile.
Goku will know that I love children's tatties.
I hate this.
I can't wait for a leaked FBI document to say Smiles is a pedophile slang.
But that is also, like, I've seen little girls do that move. It's a classic little girl move. Where it's like, I got a thing. It's in my shirt now. My secret spot. I know you can't get it. But it's not cute, as you were saying. It's annoying. Give us the key back, Pan. You got to go home. Katie, do you have anything to add?
No, I was just like, well, this is going to be an annoying episode.
Yeah.
And it only just begins.
I had no idea for what annoyances to come.
Right, it goes really all over the place. Also, the pacing was kind of weird because it's really, really slow. Like, this part with the key thing lasts for, like, a few minutes. And then it cuts to Chi-Chi, who's like, oh, my husband and grandchildren are in space. I guess I'll wait this out. And she has a joke about how she'll be balding by the time they get back. She's like, by the time they get back, I'll be bald.
Well, there's that, but then there's also the major canon revelation, I think, that Chi-Chi measures time via laundry.
Yes. Oh, that's a disturbing sign.
Especially if her if Goku is away, I feel like that's like most of the laundry. It's just her and her
She's
son.
Just taking off her dress, washing her dress, putting it on, washing her other dress. That's one cycle. She has two dresses.
This confirms a long-held fan theory that Chi-Chi is Mayan. Because as we all know, the Mayans were the first to pioneer the laundry-based calendar.
Yes, and they had a different way of keeping time. There were more months, and the world will end in 2012.
Anyway, then what happens?
Bulma's- all right, Pan is really rioting on the ship. She has a mop and she's just rubbing it on the walls, and she's I'm cleaning.
All right, this really annoyed me because I'm like, what is Pan's character? Because up until this point, it's been like, oh, she's a rowdy girl that wants to be taken seriously and wants to go on adventures.
Yeah,
but then suddenly it's like, but she's a nag and wants to clean, and also, like, they've only been flying for a few hours, so why is she doing that?
It made sense to me. She's like a manic, crazy child. That totally makes sense. Like, I feel like every person aged 10 to 12 is like, I'm an adult now, and I'm helping mop. I'm putting water on the walls, and that's what I think mopping is. And you have to do it, too.
If you don't, I'll cry.
Yeah, and then Trunks has given up attempting to land the spaceship, so they're just going to go into space now. And that gets to the very important part of the episode where the ship is broken and a part breaks off.
Yeah, they hit some birds and they have to emergency land it in the Hudson River in space Middle East.
They have to emergency land it in the space Middle East.
Yeah, I want to just Trunks the fucking snap at her when Pan was freaking out, where he's like, I need to land this or we're gonna die, and she's like, you're supposed to baby me. And I wanted to be like, this is what you signed up for, Pan. I saw my family die.
You're in the trenches now, dog.
You could have had it easy. You're a Gohan's kid. His dad never punched him in the face, and now he's an adorable baby. Okay, Pan, you had it all. You trust fund douche.
So weird. Really weird, because they all freak out, and in Super and like late Dragon Ball Z, they never freak out about anything. And if there's like a space problem, they're like, just kidding, we can breathe in space now for no reason. And this show's like, actually, we can die all the normal ways again. Surprise, it's a fun, wacky adventure. And so they crash land. And they're in the middle of a market right away. And they're like, we'll get spaceship parts. This episode is just Chrono Trigger.
I was going to say it's like, it looks like Agrabah.
Yeah, it does look
Aladdin,
like Agrabah.
Like they come down and like all these like little space Muslims all come around them. And they're like trying to sell them shit. And also telling them like, we'll cut off your nose if we don't like your face.
But the accents are all over
the place.
They're
all over the map.
They're very Jamaican for the first few seconds, where it's like, yeah, welcome to the spaceport.
Pick it up.
There's a lot of heavy-handed themes in this episode. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but capitalism, it's not always so great.
Right. It is it is breaking iMecca from the ground up. People cannot live there. They are throwing themselves at tourists, just trying to make rent before the repo bots come to get them. And so everyone's trying to sell their wares to Goku and Pan and Trunks, and they get a makeover, and they're just shocked, and they don't know what's happening, and they pay these people a bunch of money, as you find out in the next scene. It's kind of like, hey, where'd you get all that money? How'd you have space tribal money? What is happening?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I know Trunks is probably, like, it's implied that he's loaded.
Yeah, his mom
is
Elon Musk.
Like, is the Zenny universal currency?
Well, you see in the scene where you see the little ticker in their hotel room, you do see that the currency symbol is Zenny.
All right.
So presumably that is enforced by Jocko and the space cops.
Yes, these space cops, they're really only there to protect the market shares of space capitalism. And it's a bunch of bullshit. So for the next scene, they go and they have to get a hotel room because, of course, they've crash-landed on this space Dubai, and they need a night to stay. And that's where the I wrote terrible voice acting.
Yes.
So that was a big part of this scene. A robot thinks Goku is luggage and picks him up and refuses to put him down until they pay him, which is like, this whole episode kind of had a vibe that one of the new writers they got because Akira Toriyama was on strike when just like visited the Middle East for a weekend. It was like, it's crazy over there.
They try to sell you stuff. They're incompatible with the West.
I love that. Just like guy in a Japanese office being like, we must protect the West.
The money thing is more what I was focusing on.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like they were like a stone's throw away from just writing an episode where they just say out loud, like, look, people from my mecha are cheap and they're a problem. You gotta get rid of them. We can dance around it all day, but it's in their blood. It's very heavy-handed. They get the room in the hotel, and Trunks' bed tries to charge him money for using the bed, and he's chained to it. And Pan is turns on the shower, and it won't turn off, and it changes it for it. And then there's too much food, and it's like a political cartoon by just like a MAGA chud type person of what happens when you visit the wrong hotel in the wrong part of the world. So everything costs too much money, and Pan is very upset, and then they run out of the hotel because
like everything's running a meter, like a taxi cab.
Right. Yeah. So there's only one move, and that's to run away, because in iMecha, they don't check your space ID to get the room. That's how they got
out of it. Yeah, they didn't put down a space line of credit.
Yes, they really do have to get a handle on that, because this must happen constantly.
It's real easy to scam in space, baby. Summer scam. Trunks is on it. Yeah,
no
baby.
Rules.
He's rich for real. He just loves to scam.
This is why you have to keep the free market to the planet, folks. Okay, so they run away. Trunks literally judo chops the chain off of him, and they run into the night, and it's raining, and Pan is upset because she's a child, and they're like, shut up, Pan. You're the reason our ship's broken.
Yeah, she's like, I can't walk in the rain. And they're like, once again, I have died and come back to life several times. Fuck you.
Goku's just thinking about early episodes of the Muppets show or something. He doesn't talk at all. They crash into a space house when somebody dramatically falls through it because the walls are so thin. It's a home, and the people are like, oh, we didn't expect to see you there. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
Thank you for having us. We think your people are cheap. And the aliens are being like, we are cheap.
No, they go on to explain that their leader, did you get his name?
Don Key.
Don Key.
Lord,
yes.
Don Key.
Yes, Don King is a tyrannical ruler who made everything cost money.
That's true. It all started with the boxing matches. And it went downhill from there. And so obviously this isn't a systemic problem or anything like that. It's just Don Key is bad and thus has ruined their culture of everyone selling each other out.
Yeah, this used to be like a cashless, stateless sort of a society.
What we need is a regulated iMecha. That's what we need. So they're complaining about that, and then as they speak, repo robots come, who are just robots who are like, you defaulted on a loan, and start stealing all the stuff out of their
beep,
house.
Boop, we're here with a pizza. They open the door, and he's like, just kidding, beep, boop, we're here to take your TV.
They get served by the robots. None of the intergalactic warriors fight these robots at all.
Yeah.
Real good opportunity missed.
Literally this episode, Trunks is like, we can't be bothered. He almost is like, yeah, we practice the prime directive now for some reason on this fucking show where we don't get involved except for all those times we are the center of the story and the conflict.
Yeah, anytime they don't fight anyone is a mistake. That's just writer's rule number one for Dragon Ball.
If you have a Goku in the first act, you must beam by the third.
So Don Ki, they all agree Don Ki is the light and the way. And that he must be stopped because he's tyrannical. He's like this Trump guy. And so they leave the house, which has literally been stolen from around their bodies by these repo robots who fold up a house. And they go back out in the rain. It's raining. That seems uncomfortable. And they pass this new robot, Giro. And his name's Giro. You could tell because he only says Giro. He's buried in the sand. And they're like, we should check to see if this planet has a Dragon Ball. And Trunks is like, I don't see why it would. We're in space. That would be way too convenient to possibly be what's happening.
And she's like, well, why don't you check? And he's like, okay, fine. And he does, and there isn't one.
Well, we don't know there isn't one because their Dragon Radar gets eaten by this
That's
robot.
That's right, yeah.
Which means, you know what that means, Jar Jar Binks robot for the rest of the show.
Oh, yeah.
We're bringing it around. It's going to be a senator later. It's fine in the Dragon Balls.
This show's got its own Alolan variant.
Misa, love it.
Yeah. When it started walking around and shit, I'm like, God damn it. It's gonna be a thing.
Yeah.
I have this all stored in the back of my brain, too. So it, like, Giro gets up and walks, and I'm like, of course! I've seen it in the visions! So Giro walks around as a Dragon Radar, and Trunks does a Yakety Sack style chase of him, and then he gets away because surprise, they don't have any powers anymore. Somehow, it's a different show. It's Scooby Doo in space, and while they're chasing Giro, they look at the distance, and the Repo Robots are now taking their spaceship because they're cheap and it's their culture. And then that's the episode. It ends.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A bad episode.
A really bad episode.
It wasn't good.
It sucked.
Like, I'm sorry I didn't get more jokes in for the notes or whatever, but like a lot was happening, but so little was happening.
I agree. Hey, you remember we all saw Goku's dick again though. That was pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah. It's the only reason I get out of bed in the morning. So they're gonna need that spaceship back. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yeah.
They will get the spaceship back.
Yeah, they're gonna get it back.
They still gotta find these Dragon Balls.
They're probably going to have to go fight Don King.
Right.
Don King.
I hope they keep that brief. I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, this stretches out for another 3 episodes.
Oh, boy.
So,
looking forward to
buckle
it.
Buckle the fucking...
Back on that emotional, metaphorical boat.
Woo! Okay, out of 7 Dragon Balls, Katie.
I'm going to give this... one Dragon Ball. I was just annoyed the whole time.
A poor Father's Day gift.
The Dragon Ball is for Bulma's hot 90s mom look. That's the only posy.
She's maximally mommed up for this.
Yeah, she's got big wireframe glasses and high-waisted jeans and a tucked-in t-shirt.
Her only artist is Sheryl Crow now.
She loves Sheryl Crow. She loves that album she wrote after she moved to the suburbs and started having kids and was sad about it. And she got sensible hairdo. You do you, Balms.
You go, Balms. Jeremy, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I will concur with Katie. I'm also going to give it 1 out of 7 Dragon Balls. My 1 Dragon Ball is for the one moment where Goku actually claps back at Pan in the way we wanted them to.
Go off, King.
Like, she's like, why do we have to crash land? What happened? Why did the ship break? And he's like, well, actually, we were checking to make sure the ship worked when you came on and launched us into space.
Ooh.
You dumbass.
Damn. I will give this episode 2 Dragon Balls because it did make sense, which I really value in my Dragon Ball. Especially after watching so many episodes where they try to rewrite the rules of space and time in a way that is completely unnecessary. But it was very slow, and it would have been better if it was like a video game I was playing or something. I don't know. It had real like Chrono Trigger type feel to it.
Yeah.
Or,
also no beams.
0 beams. So you're gonna get a low score because you deserve it.
There was not even a fight. Not even a fisty. Not even like a comical, like Goku accidentally throws someone into the sun type thing.
Nope. Not a fisty to be seen.
Not even a small kicky.
There was a treatise on tyrants, which is very valuable in this day and age. I'm realizing we forgot to do Katie's corner. Katie, is there anything you were dying to talk about? Dragon Ball wise?
No.
We gotta get it organically in the middle. God damn it! Well, we're here to learn. Okay, we'll get it on the next one. I think we're all having a good time. So that's going to be it for this week. We'll see you all next week in an episode of Super. And
good time!
Good time!
Good time!
I didn't know we're doing it anymore.